American sociologist, pastor, and author Tony Campolo, he talks about a graduate course he took in Chinese philosophy once. A Buddhist monk taught the course, and once the Buddhist monk said to him, he said, you know, as a Christian, you teach your children to pray wrong. You teach them wrong. You teach them to pray, if I should die before I wake. But that's wrong. You should teach them to pray, if I should wake before I die. And I'm not sure he's really too far off on that, because far too many people die before they ever awaken to God and His goodness and His power. Well, we're beginning 40 days of prayer, and as Tim mentioned, our theme is reawakening. That's the theme, reawakening. Well, what is reawakening? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's to awaken again. One definition is to emerge or cause to emerge again with reference to feeling or state of being. So we're reawakening our feelings. It's a renewal of feeling or interest. Of course, you've heard of spiritual awakenings, right? We know what spiritual awakenings are. You've read of the first great awakening, the second great awakening in our nation. You've read about awakening, spiritual resurgence through D.L. Moody, Sankey, Spurgeon in the 19th century, and the great move of God in this reawakening. Well, what does that look like? It's a renewed hunger, a renewed longing for Jesus, a renewed passion, passion for His Word and for prayer. It's just this ignited, awakened desire and thirst for the presence of God. In one sense, a reawakening is a renewed, manifest presence of God. If you think of just awakening, imagine, not too hard to imagine, the last few weeks you ate too much, and you were watching something on television, you're enjoying a game or some show, and you doze off. We don't have to imagine, we just remember doing that. Maybe someone enters the room while you're asleep. You didn't know they were there. They were there the whole time. Then you wake up and there they are. My friends, that's what we're talking about. Because God is here, we believe that. We know there's nowhere we can go that He is not present. But we all often don't see Him. We don't sense He is here. We're unaware of His presence in a profound, absolute sense, an experiential sense. And we're seeking a reawakening to His presence. That's what we're looking for. Only God can do that. Awakenings are often centered around a reawakening to the glory of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're beginning this week with that theme, reawakening to the glory of Christ. Often when we think of Jesus Christ, we think of His earthly life, the 33 years He spent walking here in a human body. We just celebrated the incarnation. He is God with us. And when we read in the Gospels of Him walking the streets of Palestine, weeping over His people, touching them, healing them, feeding them, teaching them God's Word. When we see Him doing that, we're witnessing and seeing the glory of God, particularly when He goes to the cross and dies there. He's buried, and He comes back to life. We're witnessing the glory of God in Christ. What I want to do is challenge you this morning to think more broadly about Jesus Christ. To recall that He preexisted not only His earthly life, but He preexisted this earth. that he was with God in time immemorial in the past. He's involved in creation. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. He's ministering to us, in us, and through us in the power of his Spirit. Oh, that is the glory of Christ, who he is today. The Apostle Paul strained to portray the supremacy of Christ, to help us see, just get a glimpse of his glory. In Colossians 1, he said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created. In him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Think about that. Think of the fear people have today. Think of the power, powers and authorities. They were all created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's who he is. He's the one who holds all things together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything, he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things in heaven and on earth, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So today I want to ask you to simply pray in your heart and say, God, would you enlarge my capacity to see the display of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ? Reawaken me to the glory of Christ. The author of Hebrews tells us that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. That's who he is. He's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. One of the key scripture passages that describes the glory of Christ is found in Luke chapter 9. It's the account of the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And Luke tells us Paul and his companions, James and John, they went up onto a mountain to pray, and they were very sleepy, he said, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. That's what we're seeking. They went up on the mountain with him. They were sleepy. Then they became fully awake. They saw the glory of Jesus Christ. And what did they see? What did it look like? It says, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Prior to that moment, they had spent days, weeks, months with him. They had seen him perform miracles. They had seen the glory of God dimly in him. They'd seen the manifestation of the glory of God through his works. But they weren't fully awake, fully aware of the true glory of the person that was with them. But in that moment, they became fully awake to the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would do that for us. We have a glimpse of his glory. We see it in the scriptures. We have a glimpse of his glory in our own experience. He's changed us and transformed us. But my friends, we're only seeing a tiny glimmer. Oh, that he would open our eyes, that he would awaken us to the glory of the person of Jesus Christ. I hope your hearts are stirred and that does something inside of you, that fans that flame, perhaps that's flickering, that's smoldering. It fans that flame, that desire that he put there for you to experience his glory. That's what we want to do in these coming days. Is just continue to stoke that flame that he is burning within us, that he's producing. We can't create it. We can only open ourselves to it. Now let me just say, Let me state the obvious. An awakening, by definition, implies that the previous period was a time of sleep. If a spiritual awakening is a period of intense longing, hunger for Jesus Christ, a hunger for more of God, a hunger for His Word, a desire for prayer, a passion for the gospel, if that's what it is, what is it when it's not there? It's a coolness, a lukewarmness, a tepidness in our spirit. When we're not really hungry, we're just satisfied with what we have. And I believe, my friends, that characterizes to a great extent our current Christian culture today in America. We're just satisfied with where we are. There's not an intense longing. That's what we're after. So how does it come about? As I said, only God can do it, but how does He do this? Let me just share with you a very brief summary of how I think this might look. And I'll say that it begins in our personal, private lives. It begins with you. You are the church. It begins with you and with me in our personal lives. Often it begins with a reawakening and a renewed desire for the Word of God. So I would say to you, would you just take the challenge as we begin this year to begin to reactivate the good habit of spending time in God's Word every day? We have devotionals that are written for you that are simple and focused on this theme. Just go to our church website, uscalliance.org. Look at 40 days of prayer. You log there. You click there to the link. There are daily devotionals. It begins with you and with me having this renewed desire and a discipline that we get into God's Word. And you know what God does when that happens? He begins to give us a heightened awareness of sin. And so there's a beginning and a repentance, a brokenness before God. Sometimes it's just a brokenness and a forgiveness that we're seeking God for our coldness, for being asleep. It begins there in our individual personal lives with repentance. The process then moves forward in renewal, which is a fresh spiritual energy that comes to us individually and then within the church. This renewed spiritual energy then turns into revival. That's an acceleration of the Spirit's work that occurs in us and in the church. And ultimately, you know what happens? That leads to awakening. Awakening in the culture around us. And that's really what awakening results in. Awakening started the foreign missions movement in the United States. Some of the best impulses for social reform in our history have come through awakenings. You know, we talk a lot today, there's so much talk about social reform that is needed. We needed to reform the way we relate to one another. Guess what, my friends? The greatest reforms in our nation have come when there was a spiritual awakening. That's when it occurs. Anti-slavery movement was born in the reform of God's church. Prison reform, child labor laws, women's rights, inner city missions, all of these things came out of these awakenings when God woke up the church. But it all begins in our own personal lives as we seek God. Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. It's a great book, a short book. You ought to read it this afternoon. Just three chapters. Habakkuk was a prophet during one of the most darkest days in Judah's history. They not only were starving physically, but they were famished spiritually. It was a time of great spiritual darkness. And although the people were challenged to repent repeatedly, They just hardened their hearts and continued in their sin. It was a time of deep spiritual darkness for God's people. Habakkuk is serving God during this time, and he wrestled with his own sleepy spiritual life. And when you read Habakkuk, the first few chapters, it actually records him complaining to God. God, where are you? Why are you allowing this injustice? Why are you allowing this to happen? And he's pouring out his heart to God. And then he remembers the past. He remembers what God had done in the past. And that forms the content of his prayer. And that's the prayer I would like to present to you as a wonderful request that we bring before God for these 40 days. And this is his prayer, Habakkuk 3:2. Lord, I heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Isn't that a wonderful, faith-filled prayer for reawakening? Lord, I've heard about it. I've heard about you. I've heard about your fame. I've read about it. Would you come and do it again in our day, in our time? I don't know about you, but that's my heart's cry today. I don't want to merely read about great awakenings. I don't want to simply read articles or books, accounts of the past when God was at work and his people were alive and in fire for him. I don't want to simply read about that. I want the fame of God to spread through my family, in my neighborhood, the neighbors I'm praying for. I want to see his deeds, his mighty power unleashed there and to the nations. Don't you long for that? That is what we're seeking God for. Not just playing church, not just going through the motions, but saying, God, we need you. Wake us up. But I would again come back to, it begins with each of us individually. I can't do it. The elders can't do it. Leaders of the church can't do it. God can only do it as each of us individually, personally, open our heart and pursue God in a fresh new way. And that's what we're doing, and that's just a wonderful opportunity for us together corporately. So I don't know, but I really have some really excited high hopes for what God is going to do in these coming weeks. We've been praying, we've been planning for these Sunday morning gatherings to be a time when what God is doing in your lives and my life during the week, as we're seeking him, when we come together, we sense and see God working in new ways. So we're going to be doing some things in the Sunday services to experience God's presence. We're not just going to sing and then hear a talk and go home. We're going to be pressing into experience and seek God's manifest presence together. But it begins with you opening your heart. I like those three words, in our time. In 2022. Would you join me? Are you in on this? Would you just say with me, in our time, Lord. In our time, Lord. In our time. Oh, God, before we die, would you wake us up, God? We don't want to die while we're still asleep. Wake us up. There's a little paper in front of you. You're going to use that in just a few moments. If you're worshiping at home or someplace other than here in person, I'm going to ask you to look for a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be this size. Just something that you can write some things down. And in a few minutes, we're going to ask you to do that. But we want to begin just by saying, yes, God, in our time, and reflecting on who Jesus is. in one of the great old hymns, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? What a friend we have in Jesus. He just longed for you to come to him. So the worship team's going to come. Come on down, guys. We're going to sing that together. And I just urge you to just open your heart wide to God. Oh, why am I, what in the world am I carrying all these burdens for when you want to touch me? All the griefs and burdens that I've been carrying, you long for me to bring them to you. Just open your heart and receive from him fresh hope for 2022.
And griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Sing that out together.
Trials and temptations, is there trouble everywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. To thy friends despised, forsake thee. For take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take. Find a solid stand. Blessed Savior, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. Lord, be bringing
Isn't it good to know that he really does care? We have to ask ourselves, you know, how often do we find ourselves bent over and nearly broken because we're carrying something rather than bringing it to him? In Revelation chapter 5, we have a picture of glories of heaven. And there's one image there in the 8th verse of the prayers of the saints. It says that they're kept in golden bowls. You ever think about that? You ever contemplate the fact that when you pray, God keeps your prayers? It doesn't just go up into the sky and somehow disintegrate. What we'd like to do today is give you an opportunity to seek God for something during these 40 days. Again, we don't want to just talk about prayer. We want to seek God. And I believe there's something he wants to do in each of our lives during these 40 days. So would you take a moment right now, and this is something between you and God, and it may be something very personal. It could be something you've never shared with anyone, something no one else really even knows about. It may not be that, but it could be something like that. But is there one burden you've been carrying that you're saying, okay, enough, I want to give it to you, God. I'm going to give it to you. Is there one need that you've been crying out for and you say, God, in our time, in this time, would you meet this need? Is there some stronghold that's been clinging to you, you can't break, some addiction perhaps, that you're seeking God for deliverance from? You're saying, God, during these 40 days, I'm asking you to release me. Or a healing touch, either physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. And just write out, take that piece of paper, write it out right now, very briefly. Could be a phrase, one word, a sentence. Again, this is between you and God. No one's going to read this. We're not going to be looking at these. And then here's what we're going to do. We're going to give them to God. We're going to bring them to our friend Jesus. Just encourage you just to come and symbolically just put it right in here as your prayer, saying, God, during these next 40 days, this is what I'm longing for, what I'm seeking you for. I'm claiming this by faith because of who you are in these next 40 days. So I urge you to do that. If you're at home worshiping, if you just write out that same exact thing, I urge you to do that and then maybe put it in the back flyleaf of your Bible. Put it in some other place where someone can't see it, but just you'll remember it and you have that record. This is God, what I'm seeking you for during these 40 days.